Elijah Moore is here. He's a guy we've spoken to a few times leading up to the draft, and we just kind of put a pin in it, just like we did several other positions, and said, let's wait till the draft and see where we're at, see if he's still interested. If we took a guy in the first or second round, he's probably not too interested, but we didn't, and so we picked up those conversations over the weekend. He and his wife came up today and visited, and so we'll see. Nothing imminent today, anything like that, but a very good visit, and we'll see where that goes.
Bills GM Brandon Bean on Elijah Moore, which is an idea that I think we both like.
I do a lot.
Second-round pick. Let me read you what Matt Harmon wrote about Elijah Moore. It's a couple years ago, but gives you an idea of the skill set. First off, he's a little bit like Curtis Samuel in that Matt Harmon has, of receptionperception.com, his long one saying, I like this player a lot, he just needs a good opportunity. Mm-hmm. And for Moore, second-round pick of the Jets, onto the Browns after that. And when he went to the Browns, when he went to the Browns, Deshaun Watson's going to be the quarterback. And he says, they needed more juice in this group, and Moore is the guy to deliver. He can operate as the team's vertical slot in 11 or line up as the flanker in two receiver sets. While Cooper takes reps at the X, Moore has ample opportunity to shine and command targets. Success rate against man coverage is good. Intermediate area of the field, good. That's where the Bills like to throw the ball, right?
Yep.
He talked about how he's a good fit for Deshaun Watson, who thrived pushing the ball downfield in his Houston days. His ability to work underneath as a separator could provide Cleveland with an explosive layup target that they don't have. Browns offense positioned to be top flight passing unit if their quarterback can rebound. But anyway, the Moore profile sounds like a good idea. And we'll see if that lands. I think he would slot in immediately with he battles Tyrell Shavers.
He's battling for the fifth spot in the depth chart. But he's also battling for, again, this is kind of part of, you know, the genesis of yesterday, I guess, is a desire to see them add a type of receiver like that. That's been my thing all offseason is, I need a type. I need a guy that can play on the outside. And for him, his ability to move into the slot and outside, that's valuable. But it's the speed, 96th percentile for his 40-yard dash at the combine.
Right. That's how many years ago? Six, seven years ago. But
no,
still,
it's four.
Okay.
Four or five. That's that first draft class where it became, all right, they need another guy. He wasn't my guy though. Rondell Moore was my guy. I think Elijah Moore's turned into a little bit better of a pro.
Yep.
And definitely a more versatile receiver. Rondell Moore does like one thing. Elijah Moore though, last year, he was not efficient, right? At all. Like over 100 targets. 61 catches, like that's not really that great. If you dive into his numbers a little bit more, though, he was only 53% of his targets were catchable.
Yikes.
Half his targets weren't even catchable.
Yep.
So, and that's not really that hard to figure out. They had terrible quarterbacks last year in Cleveland. So, I'm not saying he's a great player, but yeah, I would be interested to see if he could do more with a better quarterback. He is definitely one of these guys where if you wanted to say, well, he could be different with Josh Allen, I feel like he could actually be different with Josh Allen.
Bills have him in for a visit. The guys are talking receiver again. Got him in. Tell me.
He's here probably right
now. Tell me somebody else is in. We'll talk about that. 803-0550. Got full phone lines to chat with you. And one thing I just want to say about this whole team build, I don't want to continue to assume that McDermott and Bean are in lockstep in everything they do. It's one thing that Bean explained to everybody right before the draft, that it's not my pick, it's the Buffalo Bills pick. And we have disagreements along the way. And the Bills had, obviously, a number of players come in for top 30 visits. They chose a lot of those players. So here's something to look at. They chose a lot of the guys they brought in for visits or they had extensive background on. And one position that they brought in the most visits, they didn't get any. I almost wonder if they feel, whatever, not like really mad. They'll find other answers. But they went in thinking they were going to get one earlier and get one of the guys they visited, and they just kind of got sniped every time, which, you know, that happens. 803-0550. But McDermott, I think a lot of Bills fans treat it as though McDermott would like them to become, I said Navy last week, but aren't we saying Army is the which is the offense that goes
Navy?
It used to be Navy.
Sorry, that doesn't throw the ball at all.
It used to be Navy.
Georgia Tech.
Okay, fine.
They definitely don't throw the ball.
I think they both do it though.
All right,
the triple option. Army and Navy, I think they both do it.
But do it like four times or do it like a normal team?
Well, let me use this one. I think there are Bills fans that treat McDermott as if he's Bill Belichick in the Hurricane game. He'd like to win with three passing attempts. And I don't think that's true at all. I think McDermott knows what's good to have on offense. And he, at the end of the season, talked about it. So my guess is, when they're down there talking about, all right, who do we add post-draft? My guess is McDermott is leading the charge for adding another piece where they didn't get a piece. We'll get your phone calls. 803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550. Bean also did say, by the way, when talking about his defensive line and the picks on the defensive line,
yeah,
you're allowed to pass on first down. In fact, it's advantageous to do it, right? Something to that effect.
He did. I'd like to hear that.
He did talk. Your defense needs to be able to rush the passer on first down because teams throw on first down, and it's beneficial to pass on first down, which we'd all say, like, yeah.
That's what's so interesting is their defense forever has been built to as though they what do they value? They value even that comment. They know how valuable throwing the football is.
Yep.
And that's how they build their defense. They kind of build it even this draft a little bit, right? Like the two defensive tackles they drafted, neither are being applauded for like this elite run stopping ability. They are interior defensive linemen, so they're going to be that a little bit, but I mean, what I'm hearing about TJ Sanders and what, you know, like the way Joe Marino's talked about Deion Walker is these two might be better pass rushers than they are run stoppers. And the Bills have small linebackers forever and they always play nickel and all this investment in the secondary, which I'm not complaining about at all. I think it's the right way to do it. It doesn't perfectly line up right now with the way they're also building their offense, which is again like kind of the curiosity of it. And I know this is a very long time ago, but one thing I thought of when you just talked about McDermott and Bean, again, this has been 4 years since this comment, but Sean McDermott once did call wide receiver the Bills fastball. When they signed Emmanuel Sanders on March 18th of 2021, McDermott's exact quote was, "You never want to lose your fastball. We wanted to make sure we didn't lose it, the play at the wide receiver position." Again, that is 4 years ago, yep. But
803-0550.
They had it in them at some point.
Kyle in South Florida. Hey, Kyle.
Well, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Kyle. How are you?
Hey, you guys accomplished something. Your boss has got to be happy. It's like the last day in April or second to last, and you've got packed phone lines in the slowest time of the NFL season. So congratulations there. I thought yesterday was great radio, and maybe – you know, I'm not going to pretend to be fake outraged because I hear a lot of people calling in, and I think you got a lot of fans who are misrepresenting your take, which is you. I know I've heard you guys say this, and I've heard the afternoon guys say this too. You don't want robots. You want people to be like Bean was yesterday in your front office, and we finally get a real moment out of this guy. Albeit. And as you said yesterday, I think you handled it well, Jeremy, that he missed maybe the broader point. But yesterday wasn't a culmination, or I should say yesterday wasn't about what he heard in your conversation with Sal. Yesterday was a culmination of a dude who thinks he's done really, really well, and he has. So for the idiots who keep calling in and says he haven't won anything yet, please stop. You're losing yourself. We were a joke of a franchise. Yes, we haven't won the Super Bowl yet. Noted. We've also rattled off five consecutive division titles. We put together a model franchise. So if I'm Bean and I'm feeling a little, you know, peeved because I'm getting questions, and then exactly what happened, I think, is he tuned in late and he's like, oh, more of this. And he lit up. And it's like, I get it. You know, Jeremy, from your point, the fantasy football thing is a little belittling. He took a little shot, right?
Yep.
I think there's that actually says more about your relationship with him and his ability, which you hear throughout that clip of him referencing you by your first name. You guys have a rapport and you built a relationship to actually have that exchange. And how cool is that? So I thought it was like one of the, you know this, I call you guys a bunch. I love what you guys do. I thought it was one of the best exchanges we've had with the front office, this front office ever. And I think it'll end up being something that's really cool. I would be shocked if down the road, Brandon doesn't come back on, you guys don't have some fun with this. But for the love of God, for the pearl clutching and the dude who just said, he said the B word, and the person from freaking New Jersey who just said it's unbecoming of a professional. My God, have you ever worked in a passionate profession before? Please, the fake outrage from the fan base and is just exhausting. It was an awesome professional exchange of opinions when we had a general manager who has been very successful come in a little hot without context, probably take a position that was strong because he just got done with what he thought was a good draft. And the first thing he got asked by reporters was about what he didn't do, not what he did do. You didn't do that, Jeremy, but he caught that. And I think you realized that. And I just wish the rest of the, even the guys yesterday were offended, like Chauve and the Bulldog were like, you know, talking about my friends that way. Come on, guys. Like, it was not that offensive of a conversation. It was awesome radio. And I just wish you had more time in that exchange to lay out for 45 minutes, because I think it would have been riveting stuff. So kudos, you know, to you to how you handled it, Jeremy. But I loved it, and I hope that's okay for me to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, Kyle, thank you. I appreciate that. I did say, like, in the next segment, he can come on and yell at us every week if he wants. Like, we'll go. We'll do it. We're informed. Yeah. All we want is, you know, more answers, and if you want to tell us why you did a thing, then that's great. To the point about, you know, all the things he's won, I want to make a comparison if I could.
Mm-hmm.
Life with Josh Allen is so interesting, and I didn't know that having a franchise quarterback this good would be this way, but it's almost like everybody over there has to be careful in a way. This is not Josh's fault. This is just a reality. Josh has proven he can win without Diggs. Yeah. Josh will prove he can win without James Cook if they don't sign James Cook, right? And if you're the GM, I'm not saying like this is an active thought I have about they should move on from the GM, because I don't. Could Josh win without Sean McDermott? What do we all think?
Yes.
Could Josh win without Brandon Bean?
Sure.
That's like this really sensitive piece. Allen is the key. Bean's the guy that pulled the card and drafted Allen, and he came in like dropping that on the table. Bam, here you go. Remember Josh Allen? I do. And the reason that's the most important card to play is because that's the constant, and it's always going to be the constant. And if Allen, whatever, if you laid out the names, McDermott and Bean are both going likely to leave before Allen, if they leave, ever.
Sure.
Allen is the one that everybody lines up behind. Allen is the one that everybody knows. He, as long as you have him, transition year, all your captains are gone, no Diggs, no Davis, injuries to the offensive line could happen this year. Not going to be an issue. They're going to go win. Oh, Baltimore comes in with Lamar and the MVP. Not going to matter. Josh is going to win. Josh is going to win that game. And it's just, to me, it's a little bit of a be careful, everybody down there. Because you want to align yourself with him, but the moment you think it's you are the reason that they're winning, people will remind you, like, actually, it's that guy. It's Josh. You drafted him, but that's the guy that wins.
Yeah.
And for Bean, he has invested picks, Coleman, Kincaid, and right now, those two picks don't look like they're doing enough for Josh Allen. As soon as they look like they're doing enough for Josh Allen, hey, Bean is built this incredible offense, and look at the picks that are contributing in a big way. It's kind of, we've talked about this too, the side effect of everybody eats is that no one gets the production to look like they're worth what you invested.
Mm.
Whereas if we kind of ditched that and the offense ran through Kincaid and Coleman, we'd say like, wow, look at these studs that Bean drafted.
All right.
So there's always this like this, whatever, it's not quite politics, but Allen is the key to everything. He's the reason they have a good culture. He's a reason they have they're a model franchise. Is he a reason they're building a stadium?
Oh man.
You get that franchise quarterback,
it's definitely an influence.
Your franchise value goes up what? $1 billion?
Mm-hmm. Right. Why is Vince Carter and Tracy McGrady wanting to buy and Josie Elter are wanting to buy part of the team? Yeah. I got caught in between too yesterday because there was a little bit of, well, right, he's won so much, and a little bit of, you know, puffing your chest out because Right. Look how different it is. Look how much better it is. Look how much more they win. Five straight division titles. All this winning. One part of me completely understands that and empathizes with it. There is another part of me, though, that also thinks, yeah, but you haven't won it. Don't walk around acting like you're not the Patriots. Not yet.
Right.
You shouldn't really get to carry yourself like you've won three Super Bowls. You know? It isn't that. I mean, when we were at our draft party on Thursday, was this the Thursday party or the Friday draft party? I think it was Thursday. And the draft is on the screen, and the Bills are up on the clock. And ESPN puts a graphic up that says
78
Buffalo
wins.
Bills, 78 wins, the most wins in the history of the NFL that amount of time without making the Super Bowl. That stat got put up on the screen. The most wins ever in that amount of time. Without making it to a Super Bowl. And what did everybody in the room do?
Groaned.
They groaned and booed it. Yeah. That's not to say that people are unhappy with the last 5-6 years, but it's the job that, you know, you haven't accomplished it yet. Haven't done it yet.
I like to make my comparisons. Aren't they, to a point, Rory McIlroy? One of the best.
Rory without winning at the
well,
very
there are other
beginning.
Majors, but the Masters is the one.
The Masters, yes.
You're
yes.
Rory. Yeah. Look at all these things I've done. I'm amazing. Yeah, but you got to win that one. And that was one of the things when Rory won the Masters, reading about that, we came in the next day, and I told you, I'm thinking about the Bills. I'm thinking about Josh Allen and the Bills because everyone knows you're good enough, but you haven't done the thing yet. And until you do that thing, the pressure of being good enough to win it
right.
is added. This isn't, hey, maybe Caleb Williams will bring the Bears to prominence. This is... Everybody agrees this team's good enough to do it. Everybody.
Yeah.
How come they haven't done it? And that's a different kind of level of pressure. Brian in Richmond. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how are you?
Good, Brian.
So the crux of the problem from yesterday, I think, has to do with a couple of things. One is presumed knowledge by both parties there, and also the cost of being good. And what I mean by that is when being called in, he kind of laid open on you guys because he just assumed that you are dumb sports jocks who don't look at all the data and do analysis, and you guys do a lot of that, to your credit. And he just presumed you guys didn't know much about what you were talking about, and his comportment was not good with you all. But the presumed knowledge on your end is that, and you said this a couple times, Jeremy, after his call and then when you were on Buffalo Plus last night, that wide receiver takes a back seat with Bean. And you don't know that either. You're not in the draft room when they're sitting there and they're deciding and they've got a wide receiver right next to a defensive tackle. And they go, no, I don't like wide receiver. I'll take defensive tackle. And I think part of the problem also is the cost of being good. One of the reasons we don't have that wide receiver is because we're good. And when you're good, you're not drafting low. It's not like Bean has passed on all these great receivers that, hey, look at all these great receivers we keep passing on. So that's just what I want to call in on, and I'd just like your feedback on that.
Thanks, Brian. No, you're not wrong. Like, I don't know that, which is why I specifically said I'm going to ask him that. I knew on Wednesday the week before we were going to get the GM on Monday, and I'm like, all right, let's see this draft. I'll see how it goes. And like, all right, one of the things I want to ask is I don't know the answer to this question. I'm going to ask him.
Yep.
And he can give whatever answer he wants, and you know we can pick it apart like we pick apart everything. So thanks, Brian. You're exactly right. I don't contend that I know what their board looks like. It's actually one of the things I'd like to point out, that nobody knows what anybody's board looks like, and we don't have to listen to any NFL team for what they tell us after the draft because, you know, they could just tell us what they want, and we kind of have to believe it. But that's why I wanted to ask. That was the whole genesis for, I'm going to ask him this question. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Some interesting notes on Shedeur Sanders and his fall, how owners had taken him off their board. We'll get to that, get to more of your phone calls, and have the top 10 jersey sales from the draft, the trivia question form.
Yeah.
So we got lots, and we got time for you. If you're on hold, Silas Smart, give us a ring, 803-0550. If you were trying to get through before, we have an open line now, 1-888-550-2550 on the Bills. And more on Elijah Moore as we go, too, because I do think that's a good idea.
Well, this was an unprecedented slide, Laura, and a lot of people had speculated that the Cleveland Browns would have some interest, but it was much earlier in the draft. The Browns liked him, but not that much to use a high pick on him. They even picked Dillon Gabriel ahead of him. But when Shedeur Sanders continued to sit on the draft board at pick 144 in the fifth round, the Browns felt compelled to move up in the draft to take a player at that time. And who would have thought that we would be talking about Shedeur Sanders like this as a draft value? That's how they viewed him at that point. And they now have five different named quarterbacks going into training camp.
Shout out Kenny Pickett being called a name quarterback.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter, two things on Shedeur Sanders' slide and some news out there. Boomer Esiason has something on this. I didn't realize this one part of the point about Sanders, which makes total sense. I didn't realize he didn't hire an agent.
Yeah.
He didn't hire an agent. And what is an agent going to do? Talk to all the teams and get their honest assessments and tell him you're not going second overall.
Right.
It's not happening.
So don't build a draft room.
Yeah.
With all the hats and, yeah, because he did that.
Don't act like you're just going to get drafted in the first round because of who you are. These teams don't think you're that good.
Yeah.
That's what an agent would have done. Boomer Esiason said on WFAN, after talking to three different personnel people in the NFL this weekend, they didn't even have him on their board. They took him off, and they took him off because owners said, take him off. I don't want that guy. I don't want this entitled person on our team. And I don't blame them. That's what Esiason said about this. And basically said that when he went in, Esiason further, when you listen to him talk right prior to the combine about how if you want a new culture in your locker room, I'm the guy to do that. I can turn it around. He's very high in himself. I think that's very off-putting to many, many coaches and GMs in the league.
Yeah.
So that explains the slide. The idea of like, draft me, I'll change your culture, didn't sit well with GMs and coaches who take something like that very seriously.
Yeah.
So he slid down the board.
Well, especially when, and there were, you've seen a lot of what's happening right now. Teams are leaking things to kind of explain that, hey, this isn't, I saw someone call it Kaepernick level collusion in the NFL. Like, I don't think it graduates to that at all. But like, you're seeing teams explain it by like, okay, well, he tanked the interview. What do you expect us to do? Because there was a little bit out there that he purposely didn't do well in interviews with teams that he didn't want to go to. And there was another report about how, you know, he just missed things. Like, we had put in purposeful mistakes on, like, installs to see how he would do with them, and he just didn't notice them. So there were other reasons for it. But why he slid, to me, is probably just that it is his personality not lining up with the prospect. And when you get to a point in the draft, when would this be? Round two, round three, maybe more so? Where if you're not spending a first-round pick on this guy, and it's not, well, he's the plan. He's going to be the starter. He's going to be given every opportunity to be the starter. At some point in the draft, what does it become? How would this guy be as a backup? That's what the draft becomes after what? Round three? Yeah. Round four? How would this guy do as developmental quarterback behind somebody that we're probably going to be playing this year? And with all the confidence and the name power, what do teams often do in those situations? Why didn't Cam Newton ever get signed as a backup quarterback? Because teams don't want that as their backup quarterback. They don't want a headache as their backup quarterback. They want a dude who's friends with the starter and isn't going to make any headaches. And when it becomes, okay, now we're at a point in the draft where he's a backup, he's everything you don't want as a backup.
Yeah, if you have a young guy, you don't want...
And that's why he fell.
Right. If you have a young guy, it's you want to give that guy the opportunity to take the job. If it's a franchise guy, you want to prop him up. If it's a guy, developmental guy, you got to make sure. There's always politics in terms of the quarterback room. Mark in Tonawanda is up. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Sorry, I don't have a lot on the Shedeur thing. But, Jeremy, idiots like me call in all the time. And for you to say that you never cut anybody off, to me, is just disrespectful to the 45 minutes I spent in the gym parking lot where I told my girlfriend I'd be working out, but I'm on the line with you. But, no, I just think yesterday was great. And it's not often that people can call you, Nate, or Shoep with guns a-blazing like that. And the fantasy football comment, it was awesome. And here's my point with all this. You guys have the luxury of being the only all-day sports talk radio in the city and in Buffalo, and you guys are critical of everybody. When somebody calls in and is critical of you, it's like, oh, my God. Like, this is major headline news. It's Brandon being disrespectful. Oh, it's good. You know, everybody blows you up on Twitter. And it's like, you know, there's only a handful of people that could do that because you guys got control of the radio. You know, you guys got control of the button. But here's my point, and this is the reason why I called. I am dying for Kevin Adams to be in a position to talk to you the way Brandon Bean talked to you yesterday and say, listen, you guys have been talking about a puck-moving defenseman, an offensive kind of defenseman, and you're still talking about it because they're good. This team stinks, and it's nice to see a little fire under a GM, and I wish Kevin Adams would have a fraction of that kind of passion with the media, with this building this whole embarrassing roster. But I thought it was great radio. I don't feel bad that happened to you yesterday. I call all the time. I hope you don't take it personal. I thought it was great. I'm not even listening to you. Thanks, man.
Yep. We don't cut people off. I mean, unless like, they ramble and start to get, like, I don't know, bad cell phones. It really doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do because it's just, you know, you're losing the plot. But, you know, it's one thing that was said a lot yesterday that's just flat out untrue. And any idea that people call the show and if they challenge us, we freak out. Like, it's one of those things. You think you're always right. People will say that. I always ask anybody, don't you? Who doesn't think they're right? The instant you think you're wrong about something, you change your mind. That's what everything is. Listen, I think I'm wrong about this, but here's what I think. Who would do that? Every person that calls this show has an opinion, calls in and thinks they're right, and we think we're right, and Brandon Bean thinks he's right, because you do the work and you form opinions based on whatever research you have. So, I mean, Mark, you're entitled to your own interpretation of whatever happens, but...
Also, thank you for believing that I have the sway to get ESPN to put that on their front cover story yesterday.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
I called
I don't know who works at ESPN anymore. I called Stephen A. Smith to make sure that they were going to do that.
Right. It is kind of funny.
Like, joke.
You know, whatever, inside the curtain here. I don't care at all that went around the world. In fact, I wish it had.
I wish it hadn't. 1,000%.
Like, I wish it hadn't.
Totally wish it hadn't.
You guys are so wonderful. This gift, basically, you know, oh, you're viral. All this means is that a lot of people called me names yesterday. Like, that, let me tell you how great that was. It was awesome. Good times.
And now believe that this is new bulletin board material for the Bills when it isn't.
Right. Wow, you
sweet.
Guys,
yeah, that's great.
What a win. So, you know, it's our job to talk about it. That's what we do. Let's get another call in. Dennis in Lockport. Hey, Dennis.
Hey, guys. Great show. I'm not going to belittle you guys. I love you guys. Hey, quick question. You're talking about Elijah Moore. I'm glad you were talking about him. I want to get a little what you guys think about him. But how about Keenan Allen out of Chicago? There's been some rumors, too, Buffalo was interested in. And I want to see your guys' take on that one.
Thanks, Dennis. I feel like, I don't know when this happened, but every receiver became a slot receiver. Right? Yeah. Like, Allen's supposed to be primarily a slot guy, a bigger, slower, power slot. Like, Keenan Allen's game is similar to Keon Coleman's, right? Big, strong, power slot. So,
yeah.
I just don't think structurally it's a fit because they could probably use a faster guy like Elijah Moore.
Yeah. The rumor, by the way, wasn't necessarily a rumor, Dennis. It was, I saw this, it got aggregated a little bit too, but it was just CBS Sports had an article, like, best fit for each remaining free agent, and somebody put Keenan Allen on the Bills for that. So I haven't seen any rumor about them being interested in him because I don't think you need another slot receiver, another possession receiver, which to me is what Allen is. I like Moore. Don't think he's amazing, but that's the skill set I'm looking for. A sub-4-4 guy who runs vertical routes, can play all around the field, especially down the field, which is the only thing I think the Bills need to improve on offense. And he's somebody they had in. So he's the name to me to be thinking about more than Keenan Allen. I don't think Keenan Allen makes much sense.
803-0550, Greg in Kingston. Hey, Greg.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted a couple of comments. I mean, the NFL draft is so exciting just because of the variety of positions. And just to validate your question yesterday about wide receiver, a very valid question. And just a couple of things I'd like to hear you comment on. You know, I think the Bengals are an interesting test case, and an organization that's focusing on receiver, having signed Chase and Higgins. And I know we often talk about the, you know, the Chiefs and how they're moving, but curious if you think that's kind of instructive at all. And maybe to Bean's point about having to focus on, you know, football players and the organization of the whole team. And then also just curious to hear about if you think that, you know, perhaps what happened with Diggs is a reason, you know, having Allen kind of keep the leadership. I'm wondering if they're being more cautious in terms of maybe getting that alpha wide receiver, as receivers tend to be. Curious your thoughts on that. And I just want you to keep asking the question and appreciate it. And thanks so much for taking the call.
Thanks, Greg. I wonder that, because he said he did slip in there about, you know, you get guys get frustrated. There's only one ball. So I don't know if they're still feeling the effects of Diggs commanding more targets than the rest of the receiver group. I've maintained throughout the Diggs tenure that one way to get him fewer targets commanded to him would be to give other options that were better. And he was the good option. And their other options when he was here were not all that good. So that's a part of that.
He did say they were number one after trading Stephon Diggs. Like he...
Yep. They were also, you know, all they're very, very good with Diggs for 3 out of 4 years.
And that could be a lot. That could be a lot of the attitude too.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised by that. That it's not just, you know, what they did in the draft, but it's a long ranging feeling of I made a bold choice to dump my number one wide receiver and that had been elite for 5 years. And what we did was finish top two in points.
Mm-hmm.
And his feeling that he should be given credit for that, or that the team should be given credit for that more so, I would get why that would be the source of the tone yesterday.
And to the Bengals, there are a lot of teams that pay two receivers. The Eagles, people need to pay more attention to the Eagles. The Bills can be the Eagles.
Well, okay.
Financially.
Right. Are you talking about receivers specifically or the whole thing?
The whole thing.
Another thing that happened yesterday that I heard Bulldog say I hadn't even thought about in the moment was when he said you can't have Pro Bowlers at every position. And I heard Bulldog yesterday be like, Philly does. Philly is, maybe you even said it too. Pro Bowlers at every position.
Yeah, almost. They have a lot. And
including wide receiver.
Including wide receiver and running back and tight end and offensive line.
And defensive line
draft
and
defense.
Linebacker. And
Yeah. What's happened to the Bengals, which, listen, I just end up thinking that the salary cap exists as an excuse for owners, and GMs work for owners. What's the difference between the Eagles and these other teams? The Eagles spend more, move more money. They go to the wall for as many players as possible. The amount of money the Eagles have spent on their offense, and then they draft defense. And what's the difference between the Eagles and the Bengals? The Bengals' draft picks have not hit. They've not had as successful draft picks. They've not traded up as much as Philadelphia has. But I don't think that Higgins and Chase will in any way be prohibitive to the Bengals having a good team. Other personnel decisions might, but paying two receivers is not something that has to hurt anybody. It was, for a while, the long-held belief was, well, no quarterback on a second contract has won the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Remember saying that? Remember people saying that? Would anyone ever make that case again? Now all these guys make $50 million. There's 20 guys that make $40 million.
Mm-hmm.
And the cap keeps going up and up and up. And some teams decide to build around that quarterback on the offense. And the Bills have big money in Dawkins. By the way, you know who one of the Bills' highest cap hits is?
This year?
Which is fun to kind of talk about.
Is it Knox?
Dawson Knox is one of their top cap hits.
Yeah.
$14 million, I think, is his cap hit. Anyway, that's a little aside. It's just to say the Bengals are not the only example of what to do. And again, that's paying receivers, not drafting them, just paying them.
Right.
So a big part of this point, a huge part of this point, pretend it's a different position. Do you want defensive ends in the draft? In part because it makes financial sense? Probably. Mm-hmm. That's a good point to make, that you're paying a lot of veterans, big money. Your draft picks are free labor. Where are you going to get that cash? Where are you going to make that up? And the Bills have an opportunity here to have defensive players now outplay their contracts on some of these deals, which is something you want. It's why you want a lot of draft picks. 803-0550. Thanks for the phone call. And you know, Cincinnati, I don't think is a cautionary tale any more than Philadelphia is proof that it works. A lot of ways to win, and the Bills could win As presently constructed, which is, you know, something else we said yesterday and we'll continue to say. Elijah Moore, we'll keep talking about him because that might happen. Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550 on WGR. Hey, join us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team Saturday, June 28th. Once you join the team, you receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt, water bottle, and Thomas Pro Bikes on Walden Ave in Lancaster. Not a rider, you can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. Heard from a lot of people yesterday. People I went to high school with, like, whoa, you're on ESPN. Like, thanks.
Yeah.
Talk to Howard. Who else did I talk to?
I talked to a station in Toronto about it yesterday.
Yeah. Busy day.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear it for flowering trees. That's all. I like to say it every year.
Yes.
Let's hear it for flowering trees.
Yeah, this is good. Although I think it already ended. The cherry blossoms.
Yeah.
It's very quick. It's like a week.
I have a great appreciation. Things I appreciate. Drafting wide receivers and flowering trees.
We need the rest of the trees to get going here, though. I was looking down my street yesterday and like three trees on the whole street like have anything on them.
Yeah.
Like the rest of them need to get it together here. It's almost May.
803-0550. If you're on hold, we have a wide open segment. We will buzz through some phone calls here. Get your thoughts. Get ours on Elijah Moore as an idea. And we also have the scheduled release date, which is not far away.
Like 2 weeks.
2 weeks. We're going to have the schedule in 2 weeks. And then we can get mad about, you know, that. Maybe yell at each other about something. Maybe they're going to Brazil. No, they're not going to Brazil.
They could go to Ireland.
They could go to Ireland.
I would love if they go to Ireland. Oh, I'm rooting for it.
Jeremy and Joe, 803-0550. If you're on hold, we will get right to you on the other side here on WGR.